Jingles. If you have a show, I can help you. My studio is on Yelp. You should partner with me. Come to DC, I'll put you right on the street. Do you hear that sound? It's a restaurant and it's really loud. Just what you'd want, ambient noise. Clumsy bus boys will drown out your voice.
Hear them plate the glasses.
Who can afford a producer? Or press record on their own computer? You should move to Chatter. Your show should move to Chatter. Yes, you should move to Chatter. In summer we run the leaf blower. By winter our dial will be open. We need you at Chatter. So please move to Chatter. Please move to Chatter.
This is the Jingles Podcast, and I'm your host, Giovanni Grelli. It's good to be back. I appreciate your patience, those of you that have listened to this show for the last few years. Been wondering where I am. Recovering from Jingle Fest the past few weeks and leading up to it, didn't really have a lot of time or much energy or interest in recording. So now that I've been able to decompress a little bit, I really wanted to kind of come back and revisit this and just talk to folks about what we're doing now and what's coming next. In fact, that opening jingle, Move to Chatter, is an idea that I had maybe in April or March, and I wanted to debut it at the Jingle Show. I really loved the idea of having some tattoo sleeves on and running around the stage like Adam Levine or whatever, like an idiot, and just singing that song. I thought that'd be such a fun thing to do. Other songs like Wilbon's World and Dairy Queen were written for previous Jingle Fest, so I wanted to have something new and fun this time around. But unfortunately, with everything going on and that just the general, you know, nonsense that I was dealing with, I never got around to it until today. So I'm thrilled that I could debut that here, and I hope you enjoyed it. It was fun to write, and hopefully get some good knocks in there about Tony and Chatter. I don't know that this will be weekly this summer. I've got a lot of stuff going on, but I do have a great show planned for August, the 2017 Jingly Awards. If you remember last year, Brad Weiss was nominated, I think, in 5 categories, and unfortunately, the committee did not select him in any of them to win a Jingly. So this year, we've got some more great nominees, and I am thrilled to announce that Brad Weiss will be winning the prestigious Achievement in Jingly Award, the Lifetime Achievement Award this year, the Jinglies, as well as be inducted into the Jingles Hall of Fame. So it's pretty exciting. And I can't wait to hear that show, just to be in the audience and kind of see what happens. We'll have some great celebrities hosting again, I'm sure. Some wonderful song clips to play of songs you may have forgotten because they don't actually exist. So it's going to be great. I hope you listen to that Jingly Award show. Recording that one last year was one of my favorite podcast moments of all time. Just getting it all together. I think I've listened to it probably 4 or 5 times, and I wrote the damn thing, so it probably shouldn't be that funny to me, but I really like that. So I hope that this next one lives up to what I think was a pretty good standard that we did last time around. And again, I'm really excited for Brad. You know, he got the shaft last year, and this year he's finally going to get his due. So we got some talking to do today. I've got some things to announce, the things to kind of fill you in on about the lawyer stuff and the Jingle Fest and everything else. But first, I thought we would just play some songs because that really is what started this podcast in the first place. Just playing some of the great jingles from folks like Robert Berg, Brad Weiss, and Joe Arrow, who we're going to feature here in this opening segment, along with Jason Fuse, Sean Morrissey, and KJ Onstad.
Hello, Dr. Tony. I'm your new intern. What would you like me to do?
Yo, I'll tell you what I want, what I really, really want. Drive to my house and drop off the paper by dawn.
What else do you want? Do you really, really want?
Shave the dead skin on the bottom of my feet off.
You wanna, huh? You wanna, wait, you wanna what?
You wanna what?
I don't know if this is worth it.
If you want this offer, forget your name. Unless it's Clifford, that's your nom de
sclave.
There's no vacations to Cape Cod guy. How long can you listen to a sexagenarian whine?
I'll tell you what I want, what I really, really want.
What?
I want to watch you ride a pony.
If you want to be my intern, you got to fill up my tank. Take this stack of pennies to get dimes from the bank. If you want to be my Clippy, you've got to sod my lawn. Call me on your birthday and talk like Ian Conn.
What you think about that?
They sent one driver, but where did mine go? You know who I am. I want a box of that. Got me my doctoral degree. I begged them for years, won't give it back. I just got a box of that. Where is mine?
Don't give solids of my stakes.
Give me mine.
My tweener needs to activate.
Send in mine.
I am up there on the wall of fame, so I want a box of that.
Hey, Mr. Tony, what have you done? You're serving bar food down in Washington. Who's gonna pay for your incompetence? Michael and Liz, there goes your inheritance. All just to host a podcast. Well, it seemed like a brilliant plan. Now it's a nice day for some egg boiling. Yeah, it's a nice day to boil some eggs. Come on.
Today's episode of the TK Jingles podcast is brought to you by the new podcast, Golf Talk, with Michael and Sands. Do you need to clear a room fast? The dynamic duo of Steve Sands and Michael Kornheiser can be dispatched to a location of your choosing to publicly discuss golf minutia until everyone is dispersed, presumably to kill themselves. That's Golf Talk with Michael and Sands.
That spatial urination, but how it's got a new name that all the littles are out there saying. D is for doctor, P is professor, yeah, but getting a sign changed from an old name, that's what's tough. It's sort of like getting a degree minus all matriculation. Dr. Tony says it's harder being rich and famous, but 3DP, it seems he respects us. Oh, did I mention Chatter's now open for breakfast? Whatever happened to those others from his band, the classics? Bebop's banana driving cars like those Uber taxis. As for cars, Howard's license plate is 3DP. Speaking of plates, did you know Tony owns an eatery? Don't mind the sign with the C to the H, the A to the D. The name's not Chatter.
It's a chat-ass baby.
But back to 3DP, cause he's a topic clearly. Quick aside, have you tried Wilmot's chili? How many celebrity interns have you helped to birth? Or have you ever held a job that covered more than Earth? Well, if you want to see him, come on down to Chatter. Open for breakfast, that's all that matters.
Come down for 3DP.
And pay Tony.
Come down for 3DP.
Buy breakfast, please.
Come down for 3DP.
How about corn beef?
You want to meet 3DP?
You will want me free.
Come down for 3DP.
Aruba, baby.
Come down for 3DP.
Bagels, green cheese.
Come down for 3DP.
Or mixed berries.
You want to meet 3DP?
It costs money.
Hello, Michael. It's your father. Are you busy? I hate to bother. Lost a glove and this bullpen's draining. And I also thought you'd like to know it's raining. I went shopping for some new shoes at the outlets. Save more than you lose. Come and plant my tomato garden. Next, I'd like to bitch and moan about James Harden. Just this morning, as I was driving, saw some car plates that had me smiling. Sitting and counting behind this four-door, all those prime numbers right there in perfect order. Liz's birthday, you didn't call me. Thought it quite rude, guess I am salty. Hanging up now, eggs to attend to. If you don't call me back right now, I'll unfriend you.
35 years and my life is still connected to that NBA shield, Will Barn, and wearing women's clothing. I realized quickly that a TV show was the only way to make some dough. Raju is still the one that I'm loathing. And so I drank most nights before going to bed at 9 o'clock with the gnats ahead, hoping they'd all choke away another one. And then I wake in the morning and I step outside and grab the post, you know, first they deliver mine, and I write in the margins and scream, what's going on? And I say,
a couple of months ago, Scott Anthony posted a parody of a Tina Turner song, and he called it Pizza Dancer. And when I first saw it, I assumed he was parodying Tiny Dancer, and I just started laughing out loud at the idea of that chorus, like, hold me close, Pizza Dancer. Like, I just got such a kick out of that. That was so funny, and I could not wait to listen to it. So I clicked on it, and it was a Tina Turner song. I didn't recognize it. What the heck is this? And it was really good. I mean, Scott, he does everything. He doesn't send that many jingles because he builds them from scratch. I mean, he's a great musician and builds all this stuff out. So his composition and everything was wonderful, and his performance is great. I'm going to play it now. But so anyway, I wanted to play the original Pizza Dancer, and then now for the last 2 months, stuck in my head has been this idea of, like, hold me closer, Pizza Dancer, and trying to find a way to do a jingle about the guy that stands out front of Chatter spinning a big arrow to try to lure people into the restaurant. So here is Scott's Pizza Dancer, followed by a jingle that would not exist if it weren't for this basically idea that Scott planted in my head 2 months ago. So enjoy some Pizza Dancer.
The sign reads Chad's Friendship Heights, but inside there's Wilbon's chili. Could somebody please explain? If I were Tony, would it kill me to put a board out with a new name? Hire a pizza dancer, pay some kid to do this, get down on the corner outside and twirl a sign for Chatter. Maybe Alan Bubis could do it in all his spare time.
We bought Chatter, what a disaster, sinking deeper in quicksand. Remove some tables back in April. We thought the dinner crowd might prefer to stand. Our breakfast schedule is confidential. That's all part of our business plan. We'll solve this crisis by raising prices. Try the sausage sandwich, it's only 14 grand.
All right, who's next in line for a photo? You? All right, did you buy a sandwich? Yes, you did? Okay, fine, let's do this.
And right now I feel so dumb, bleeding out a hefty sum. There's only one man who can save me. Spinning, dancing like crazy. Pizza dancer, get the tourists looking our way. Somersault through lanes of traffic, earn $5 of hazard pay. Spin your arrow, pizza dancer. The hot sun, 12 hours a day. Throwing coupons for the fish platter. Helping all the little
Okay, here's a quick update on some changes you're going to be seeing at tkjingles.com soon. I wrote about this in the TK Jingles newsletter. If you're not subscribed, go to tkjingles.com and create a username and password. You'll be automatically subscribed in the newsletter. And the other benefit of that is I had to put a disclaimer up on the website, a big pop-up. If you've been to the site recently, you'll have seen this. And if you're a registered member, you don't see it anymore. You have to acknowledge it once, but your session persists. You stay logged in, so you've acknowledged it and you can keep going. It stays up there, though, for anybody who makes their first visit to the site or on subsequent visits to the site when they create new sessions. But as a logged-in user, you only see it one time. So great perk, and you get to find out about announcements I might want to make about the podcast or live events, or if I need money because I'm digging myself a hole with buying stupid logos and songs from Soul or whatever. So anyway, some changes you're going to see. So two things that I mentioned in the newsletter due to an agreement with Tony, I have Tony's signature now twice. I have a original TK Jingles orange shirt that Tony signed for me after I gave it to him. And I've got that hanging here in my house. And now I have a signature a second time on a legal document telling me to change the name TK Jingles to anything that doesn't say TK or Kornheiser or This Show Stinks or whatever. So we've really done a 180 from, embracing that name to now basically telling me to go the hell away and change it to something else that can be anything you want, just not our stuff. So the initials TK are perceived by IMG Digital and everybody else on that side to be infringing. And I've talked to some folks about it and they basically said, yeah, I guess it is, or it's not worth fighting if it isn't. So we'll be changing that. So we got to find some new name. If you have ideas, you can email, what is my address? I don't know, podcast@tkjingles.com. And I'd be happy to accept your feedback. I have a name in mind. There's a logo in the works, but it's not too late to make changes. So feel free to send me your suggestions. And so first thing, got to change the name, change the URL, all that stuff. And then the second one is I have to sell or destroy all merchandise by July 1st, 2018. Now, I don't want to wait that long. I'd love to get it out now. I don't really enjoy running an e-commerce site, despite what you might think from me having to advertise on Twitter or Facebook to buy stuff. It's kind of a pain in the neck when you don't do it a lot because you're sending out like 3 or 4 shirts a week. That's not fun because you have to climb in the attic or whatever at night and package it up onesie twosies. I'd much rather have a bulk order. So I would encourage you, if you have an old shirt that's getting worn or you just want to try to support it with something new that you might like, go to tkjingles.com/store and please buy it this week so I can do a bulk mailing next week and try to get some of this stuff out of here. Again, that's tkjingles.com/store. Go get something. Once it's gone, it's gone. I have to destroy all merchandise that uses the name TK Jingles on it in the next 11 and a half months. I've talked a little bit about the lawyer stuff, and I've tried to keep it to a minimum so as not to offend anybody or create additional controversy for myself. As many of you know, I'll do a jingle about Chris Lizza or something, and that pisses some people off. So then, I get an unnecessary and unwanted attention for that. So I'm not going to say anything negative here. But I will share what I think is a funny anecdote, because it's true, and I don't think it really reveals anything. When we were going back and forth about this TK Jingles thing, I think they first contacted me back in January about making the changes. There was some other dialogue we'd had previously in the fall about the format and the copyrights and all that, but they never really pushed me to change anything until right when the calendar turned, basically like a few weeks after I launched the Kickstarter for the live event. I was going back and forth, and I would get phone calls, and it was, oh God, I mean, I don't know if what the right word is, not demeaning, but I would get calls. It would say, hold for so-and-so, please, and then it would go silent for 10 seconds. Like, what the hell? Like, I have nothing better to do than just hold on the phone for some random person to call me. Anyway, so they would call that way. That was how I was introduced to these guys, hold for so-and-so. And then somebody would come on the phone 10 to 15 seconds later because, you know, I guess they're billing time, so they don't want to start incurring costs until I answer the phone or something. I assume that's what that's for. But being on that end of it, you know, you feel like kind of an a-hole. But anyway, so I would get this call, and then we would kind of talk about things they were concerned about at the time. And this went on for months. And so one of the conversations we had got pretty heated. I got pretty angry and raised my voice, and I was trying not to, but it just got so silly. We were talking about the merchandise, specifically what was posted at tkjingles.com/store. And I had, so after we got done talking about TK Jingles and the name itself and them saying that, you know, you got to drop that, the initials TK are obviously Tony Kornheiser. If you had mjbasketball.com, that's obviously Michael Jordan. So therefore it's Tony, blah, blah, blah. You got to change that. So, okay, whatever. I disagree, but I'll do that. Then we started going line by line at the stuff on the merchandise. And they said, I see that you have a orange shirt here that's obviously a reference to Tony. You can't use the color orange in your logos and stuff like that. I mean, orange, that's a Tony thing. So, okay. And then, so that was pretty silly. But then we got to the bus tickets. And I had put together a little mock-up poster, just a little, you know, 200 by 200 image that had screen captures of the McDonald's sign that said restaurant, of the Washington Zoo sign that we'd be driving by, and at the time, the Chad's restaurant sign. And so I just had those there, and it said, you know, get your bus tickets here, basically. These are the stops we'll be making. And the person I was talking to said, excuse me, I see you're using the Chad's logo to sell merchandise here. You realize that Tony Kornheiser isn't the only owner of Chad's, right? I mean, Maury Povich owns Chad's too. What do you think Maury would think of you using the Chad's logo on your website? And I mean, the question, it just made no sense to me. I said, well, I dropped the F-bomb probably three or four times in the sentence, but I'll give the clean version here. I said, I don't think Maury would mind I'm using his logo because I am using that to promote a bus that is going to drop 80 people off at his restaurant for lunch. So there's no problem here. And then we just had a really awkward silence and then just kind of moved on to some other topic. But that just kind of gives you the flavor of the conversations. I don't think anybody was ever really being malicious, but we were speaking different languages. So we just really didn't understand one another very well. And I'm really happy that on some level, Tony and others were supportive of me and what we're doing, and we were able to work through all this. I mean, as I've been told by several folks who are lawyers that are also littles, you know, they could have just sent a cease and desist, 9 months ago or 6 months ago if they really didn't want to try to find some way this could carry on and totally alienate me and everybody else. So the fact that they were willing to have so many different conversations over the course of almost 6 months is, on some level, while it was very stressful and annoying, on some level, I guess it's a good thing because we were really trying to come to some type of positive resolution. So that's kind of the skinny on that, and that's the last I'll talk about the legal ordeal until we rebrand and we welcome the brave new world of whatever this thing becomes next. But the last thing I'll say is that a lot of the back and forth had to do about me making money off of Tony's name or likeness or whatever, And so I wanted to put together a little song here with the help of John Neiswinger that captures my thoughts on that and really kind of reveals for the first time the way that I've approached this whole thing for the last 4 years. I mean, this really was, at the end of the day, a pretty underhanded and nefarious attempt by me to become a millionaire. And I guess somewhere I went wrong and it didn't quite work out. But, you know, here's a song, you know, it says it better than I could ever say it, just speaking.
Where's my pile of cash? Wasn't this supposed to be a money grab? A secret plan to be a millionaire, writing parodies, even though I had absolutely no idea at all how writing silly songs could ever turn a buck. Still, I went with it, intent on honing in on Tony's audience. Where's my pile of cash? After all, I spent 4 whole years on this thing. Now folks are asking, what would Maury think? I had planned to get rich off these songs. Where'd I go wrong? I still don't understand how my name isn't on the Walk of Fame. I know that I did my best, exploiting Tony's name for my financial gain. And now that they've closed the case, and now my place, a song and dance with empty hands. Where's my pile of cash? Sitting here in Annandale, and I'm trying to write a song about mail, but the sales weasels crawled away.
Not so long ago, one summer I decided to build a new website, a place you could hear all the silly songs that they played at the end of Tony's show. And even if they didn't air, you could find them all there. We'd record those songs, put them online at 11:51. You could hear them live. But it's not been that way in what feels like so long. That bird has flown. Yes, that was a different show. How times have changed. Now I'm taking phone calls about the website's name. 'Cause I called it TK Jingles and my big mistake was those little initials. Now I've got to change them. It's kind of a hassle, but I will. It's been almost a month since TK Jingles Live 2017, The Desolation of Sanje. And I've had a little time to reflect on that. Just wanted to talk about that a little bit now. First of all, huge thanks to Steve Lipton and his brother-in-law, David, who took care of all the sound and logistics, getting that stuff set up for the stage. We got that worked out, I think, about 2 minutes before showtime. So it was a tremendous lift, and they set it all up, tore it down, carried it to the parking lot. It was a huge help. You know, it takes a lot of work to get all this stuff in there, and as much as I do, I couldn't do it alone. So that was just awesome. And altogether, you know, this really was the best one yet. I've mentioned before how last year, you know, we had a huge turnout, whatever that was, 700 people, whatever. But most of them left at the intermission after Tony left and everybody else. And, you know, that's fine. If folks just came for photos, but, you know, I don't begrudge that. But the folks that stayed made that second half of the show amazing. And until this past Jingle Fest, that was my favorite moment, really, of anything we've done so far, because it was people who actually got a kick out of a Schwitz break and whatever else. I mean, it was great. And so this Jingle Fest, the fact that it wasn't heavily promoted on Tony's show, really, those are the only people that came. The same folks who, like yourself, who are listening to this most likely, that really just enjoy these songs and appreciate all the trivia and minutiae and work that goes into it and are just part of this whole silly community and collective and thought that this would actually be a good idea to travel out and enjoy this stuff. So given the turmoil or, you know, just the stuff I've been dealing with IMG and everything else over the past 6 months, I really did not want to do it again. I mean, had I not solicited money from folks to organize an event, I probably wouldn't have even had it. But I figured, well, I've already, you know, made a deposit on a bus and reserved this space and taken everybody's money for t-shirts. So I got to do something. And plus at that point, I think I was like $3,000 in the hole or something crazy going into the weekend. So, it was, was past the point of no return, but I really was not looking forward to it in the weeks and months really leading up to it, given the back and forth and just the general lack of support that I felt like we were getting and just, you know, the hassles. So that all changed, though. You know, I really thought that you know, the day of, I knew I would enjoy it. But again, you know, the work leading up to it, I wasn't so much looking forward to. But once it actually started, once essentially, you know, the Friday night at the Palm, it was really nice seeing folks and interacting with those that were there in town early. But getting out there for that bus tour that next morning, I had a really hard time sleeping. I was super paranoid about oversleeping and as the host of this event, like missing the bus tour or something. So I had a really rough night leading up to it. Going down to that lobby and seeing whatever we had there, 60, 70 people standing in a lobby waiting to pile onto two buses to go to the McDonald's. It was just such a heartwarming moment and just realizing that just like the Jingle Fest at Kilroy's, there really was no way we could screw this up. We were just there folks were there to have fun. It was a supportive environment. There was nothing to be really worried about. And it kind of made it all worth it. So those of you that came out for that, you know, it really meant a lot to me. And from that point on, I was really able just to, I think, enjoy the day and the weekend. And, you know, I can't really say that I relaxed until about 11:30 or midnight, whenever we shut the thing down. But I was able to at least kind of enjoy it a little bit. And not worry so much about little details here and there. And then the bus tour itself, I had put together an outline. I'd worked with the company to make sure that the timing was going to be right and the schedule was good and all that. But I really had no idea what to expect. I didn't know if there would be a microphone on the bus, and it turned out there was one on one of them, but not the others on the,
on the smaller bus that had no shocks and like killed half the people on it. So I didn't have a prepared script. I had a few stops planned. I made sure that we were stopping at all the places that we could stop at, and we would just drive by the places that you actually would want to see that we weren't allowed to stop at. So we drove past, you know, Red Zebra and ESPN 980. We drove past PTI, but, you know, then we stopped at McDonald's. So the whole thing itself worked out great. The folks at La Cheeserie, my God, they were, and Calvert Woodley, the Sands family was so excited to have those buses pull up. I got notes afterwards from them. They were just so thrilled. They sent us two huge cheese platters to enjoy at the show that night, which was just so generous. And then afterwards, I said, oh, by the way, come back and we set aside 50 t-shirts for you to give out to folks at the event. Again, just so over the top generous, because they were just blown away by, I guess, the support of Tony and then and in the community and stuff, and the fact that people from 30 plus states or whatever would be traveling just to look at a cheese shop and take photos in there and maybe buy some wine or something. So that was wonderful. And, you know, the folks at Chatter were also very excited to have us. Initially, they were going to have a reduced menu and they were really worried about volume and capacity. But I guess as it got closer, they figured out that they could handle that lunch rush. So we took that place over that day and had a really nice time there. And it was a lot of fun. The show itself, I was a little worried, you know, in the planning for it with the other folks that performed. You know, we always have a lot of back and forth on the set list, and it's pretty loose. I mean, I've tried to put together an outline and say, hey, pick three or four songs you're going to do in a medley and tell me what they are. But I really was trying to trim it down in the interest of entertainment, I guess, to maybe 2 hours, 2.5 hours. I remember at Kilroy's, the first time we did this show, I think maybe between 7,500 people showed up just all together at the event. And then by the end, I don't know what we had left, 20 people or something. I cut a bunch of songs in that first show because I felt like we really were dragging. I mean, we had like 20% of our audience left and or 20% remaining, that is to say. And I didn't think there was really room to do like 5-minute parody songs to that small of a group. So we wrapped it up early. And then last year, I thought we had a fairly tight show, but it was helped by the fact, you know, that we had Tony doing a bunch of entertaining of the crowd at the beginning. And then, you know, the intermission there, they kind of broke it up a little bit. And then we could just kind of party at the end. So as we started putting it together, it looked like it was going to run like, I don't know, 3.5 hours, 3 hours. It was getting to be like a Bruce Springsteen show. And so I was counseling or, you know, kind of advising everybody like, hey, why don't you each cut a song? This is running too long. And Joe Arrow really pushed back on that and said, no, no, no. People are coming because they want to hear these songs. I got to be able to have at least two medleys. Like, we really have to try to fill this out because people want to hear it. And he was right. You know, we did almost 4.5 hours of content and it flew by and almost everybody was still there at the end. So I mean, that kind of goes back to the earlier point that the folks who came are the folks that were going to enjoy this stuff and love this stuff. So I just couldn't believe it. I mean, we were supposed to be out of there at 10, and I think we went until 11 or 11:30 or something like that. I mean, it was just crazy how long it went on. And I ended up cutting a couple of things. I cut some trivia. I cut the big map Pinham thing, partly because Gary wasn't there on time because his flight was delayed. But for the most part, we did everything. I don't think we cut any songs. You know, we were debating during the intermission when the first half ran like a half hour long, like, oh, should we cut some of this stuff? And the folks at the Marriott couldn't have been more gracious and nice about it. I mean, I'm sure we were keeping people there an hour or 2 hours after they were supposed to go home and be with their families, but nobody ever raised an issue with me. I said, hey, we're going to run long here. Just want to let you know, let me know if there's a problem. And nobody ever pushed back at all. They were really nice about it and supportive and kept serving everybody and tending to things, and the show just carried on. It was amazing. And so, you know, having said all that, we'll see how things evolve here with Tony's show in the next year. I think it's notable that the vast majority of the content from the show, the live show this year, was from the first, you know, 3 years of TK Jingles. And there was some content from the most recent year, But because of the limitations of the show, where the songs have to be 60 seconds and, you know, things like that, it's harder to have as many of those real memorable moments when you hear a funny Tony story and you don't hear the jingle on the show until 2 weeks later. It takes away a little bit of the impact. So I tried to include some things like End of the Inheritance and some of the more recent stuff that I had done. But looking back, I mean, my favorite stuff, and I think the things that really resonated with folks in the crowd were some of the earlier tunes. So we'll do our best in this next year, if Tony continues to support it and we keep doing it, to really try to, you know, keep this fun and funny and keep doing good stuff. I know that some of the jinglers have been discouraged, and I'm not going to name names or anything, but I know that some folks have been with the way that either I've been treated or the content has been treated or whatever else. But at the end of the day, I'm thrilled that it's still a feature on Tony's show. He genuinely still seems to like it. You know, Michael couldn't attend the show because he was having a baby. So, you know, obviously he has more important things going on. Tony had a prior conflict in New York. I went to Chatter actually a few days after the show because when I leave for work in the morning, my daughter Eva, who's 5 now, and this whole jingle thing started when she couldn't speak. So she's grown up listening to these dumb songs and this whole world of Mr. Tony. Eva often asks me, "Dad, are you going to work today or are you going to Mr. Tony work?" Thinking that like I have some second job that actually, you know, like that pays me or something that I go and take care of when it couldn't be further from the truth. But anyway, so she always asks me, "Are you going to your work or to Mr. Tony work?" And so I decided that I would take her and her younger sister to Chatter for breakfast because they really wanted to meet Mr. Tony. And so we went there and took some photos, and the girls were so excited. They got little cheesery bracelets. Eva was pretend reading it to me tonight because she didn't have it with her. So she was telling me what it said. And she said, "Oh, yeah, I love that bracelet that says, 'This show is stupid.' That's such a great bracelet." But anyway, I talked to Tony about the event and everything else, and he was really genuinely appreciative that we dropped people off at his restaurant for lunch, but also, you know, really encouraged me to do it again. And, you know, with all the legal stuff and everything else, you never really know where anybody stands and good cop, bad cop and this and that. But it was nice to hear that. And I take that at face value that's true, that he really does continue to enjoy this and wants us to keep going. But ultimately it's him saying that didn't really change my mind. I think, I wanted to have that kind of endorsement to know that this is still somewhat sanctioned, even though legal stuff, you know, I guess it never will be officially anything, but, really more than anything, it was the people there. I think that through the course of the evening, random people coming up to me, asking how they could help, giving me money or buying shirts or whatever to try to dig me out of the hole and support the event, it was overwhelming. And I mean, I'm not exaggerating when I say that at least 50 different people told me that we have to have a fourth one of these, and they were definitely coming back, and how could I even be thinking about not doing it? So I'm going to try to start earlier this year. I think we're going to do it again. And over the next month or two, I'll be rebranding the website, and this podcast will relaunch under a new name and maybe a little bit different format. We'll see what I decide to do based on, you know, how things evolve. But if we do a Jingle Fest again, it probably won't be called a Jingle Fest. It'll be something else. But, you know, we'll target that same weekend between Father's Day and July 4th, and I'll start another fundraiser to make sure that we can pay for it. And this time I got some serious lessons learned about budgeting, given the way things played out with the venues. That was a huge shock, as I've mentioned on this show before. For all the nonsense we dealt with the Penn Social, I never really appreciated how good we had it. So the Bethesda Marriott was wonderful, but that really was like a rabbit out of the hat, given the number of venues that didn't want us and just that would cost, you know, $10,000 or $20,000 to go to, which just is not feasible. So anyway, just in conclusion, all of you that have supported the Jingle Fest and everything that we've been doing with these live shows and the podcast and everything else, I heard you and it meant a lot to me just to hear that. I sent out, you know, that newsletter about the rebranding and everything, and I got a ton of feedback from folks just with their support and stuff, and we really have created something special, and everybody that does these jingles, you know, you really should pat yourself on the back for all the awesome work that you've done these last few years and how you've helped to make this thing so cool. The website was never meant to be what it is. I really just wanted to have a repository where folks could listen to these songs later on. I never really intended the collaboration thing to happen, and it just kind of happened organically on its own. And I've tried my best to have some modicum or, you know, some slight little shepherding of the jingles and the way that they evolve and stuff, and giving my own little advice and 2 cents here and there. But ultimately, I don't own this stuff. It just kind of happens on its own through the graces of those of you involved. And, you know, I'm lucky that talented people like John Neisminger and Jason Fuse and others are able to help contribute additional performance tracks when we can't find something, or that others come up with hilarious ideas like Shaputzfah to the tune of Maria, or, you know, Elliot's great Subway Sandwich song, and that those things are put out there, and that I have the good fortune to be able to jump on that and add my own, you know, performance and everything to it. It's been great. So I've carried on a long time now. I know some of you just want to hear music and some of you like this chatter, but I think I'll wrap it up now. Just suffice to say, there will be a fourth Jingle Fest, which I never thought I would be saying that. If you'd asked me this a month ago on June 18th, I would have said, hell no, there's no way I'm doing this again. It's really not worth it. Just, we're not worth taking all this risk for such little reward. But the reward was great. And we will scale the next one appropriately based on the response we get from the Kickstarter. So if you plan to go, the time to let me know is by supporting that so that I can really kind of gauge an RSVP count and stuff. You know, having tickets was a nice way to recuperate a little bit of money to pay for the food and everything else at the event. But I really would rather not do that. It would be so much better if we could just try to get some general head count in the fall and use that to pick the venue we go to and kind of see how that, you know, happens. This time I think we'll get a bigger participation from Tony and others, but as always, you know, I never count on that. That's not something that I'll advertise or that you really should bank your travel plans on. It's been so cool that we have had so many people from the show come, and once again, David Aldridge, G. McManus, Gary Braun, and Liz Clark, you know, they were there this time as they were last year, and all four of them, it's just humbling to have them there and to receive the positive encouragement and everything else from them. I mean, Gary just wouldn't let it go about doing a fourth one of these. I was telling him, like, oh yeah, I think this is the last one. It's like, you're crazy. Why wouldn't you do this again? And Gary was really pushing me to do it. So Gary, as I've said many times, has always been the biggest advocate for what I do and me personally behind the scenes with a lot of the shenanigans. Gary has always been very supportive and very helpful in getting access to the people that I need to when I need them. So, you know, huge thanks to him and everybody else from the show that helped make it such a big success. So, and all of you that have backed me or, you know, financially, I had to do something which I never really thought would be required with the GoFundMe page to try to cover the difference in the budget as we got to the end there. But, you know, I put the hat out and folks threw dollar bills in. So all of you that did that, tremendously generous support. And, I really appreciate it. It helps to make stuff like this possible. Most of what TK Jingles is doesn't cost money. It just costs time and love and energy and stuff. But there are costs, and especially with hosting events and websites and everything else. So thank you guys so much. I'll stop talking now. Schwitz break!
I took my baby on a date to the Schwitz. The bouncer stopped her and would not let her in. So I talked about equality and how the Schwitz not serving women's not right. But my baby said, don't worry, hun, cause I just lost my appetite. Yee-hee! On account of all the naked men, you know I lost my appetite. Maybe next time bring your brother, cause this ain't no place to bring your wife. Oh, I think I'll just head home now, and you're sleeping on the couch tonight. Come on, girl. Shimona.
The Schwitz break that we did at this year's Jingles Live event, I really wanted it to be all original Schwitz songs that people had never heard before. So as stupid as it was that we were doing a Schwitz break for 7 or 8 minutes, the vast majority of those songs were written just for the event. And that was one of them there, heard here for the first time in an actual recording, heard live there and quickly forgotten by all those who attended. There were some great songs written for the show and written about the show. James in Atlanta did an American Pie parody called Jingles Will Never Die. I encourage you to stop what you're doing. Go to tkjingles.com when this broadcast is over. Check this out. It's 8.5 minutes long. I thought it was a little bit too long to feature here, but he caught everything. And as somebody that's written 300, 400, whatever it is of these jingles, I really appreciate the amount of work that goes into that. And James has a great, great ability, like many of the jinglers that write stuff about Tony's show, to capture the minutiae and trivia of TK Jingles. So there are references to other jingles from over the years and things from the event or jokes from this show or otherwise. It's just spectacular. So check it out. James did a great job with that one. American Pie, it's called Jingles Will Never Die. It's 8.5 minutes of just brilliant lyrics, and it's just so much fun. And so I wanted to end this episode with a demo. So I don't know how good this is, but a demo that Jason and I put together. And Jason really did the heavy lifting here. I had this idea. Again, I mentioned earlier, I wanted to create new songs for the show. And so I've had this one since about January, right around the time that I came up with the idea for the Jingle Fest. I wanted to have a big musical open and a big musical close. And the musical open was going to be one show more, but with totally new lyrics about how we were doing one final show. And I started writing that, and we had this problem last year where I wanted to do a West Side Story open. And I think that I need to write that like now in order to get 8 people on board, understanding their parts and ready to go. Because everything we do for the Jingle Fest is a single take dress rehearsal. We've never practiced before in person. So to have that many people singing a song they never sang before, probably not the best idea unless it's all in unison. And so the second song idea was another Les Mis song, Do You Hear the People Sing? And so that I wanted that to be the ending, whereas the other one will be the opener, and there'd be kind of bookends to the whole thing. So the first one didn't work out, but this one, thanks to Jason's work on some of the lyrics and putting this demo together, is wonderful. So here is the finale from TK Jingles Live 2017, Do You Hear the Little Sing? I want to send you out on this. I'll be back here soon, maybe next week, maybe not. We'll see, but the TK Jingles podcast will continue on in some form. As I said, maybe not weekly, but it will keep going. I really love to play these songs. It feels like wearing an old pair of shoes or whatever metaphor you want to make here, getting back into my office and sitting down and recording this. I've had a lot of fun doing it. I always love doing these songs. I love getting your feedback. Send it to me, podcast@tkjingles.com. Remember, buy some stuff, support getting this crap out of my house, and support the next Jingle Fest, and do it now so I don't have to do a lot of shipping. I really would appreciate that. All the information needs at the website. And if you don't have a username and password for tkjingles.com, sign up for that now too so you don't see that stupid banner every time you go there. Thank you guys, as always, for your support. Do you hear the little sing?
Do you hear the little sing? Singing the songs of orange men. It is the music of the losers living in their mom's basements. With a confusing mix of words, they will ruin your favorite songs, as very soon you'll catch yourself singing along. Will you join in our charade? Stand up with us and sing this song. I mean, look how long you've stayed. This is the place where you belong. Do you hear the little sing? Singing the songs of orange men. Hate to break it to you now, but these are your friends. There's no need, please don't explain. We
understand this thing. Well, as much as anyone can, it's like Comic-Con with singing. Do you hear the little sing, singing the songs of Orange Men? It's okay to admit it, now you're among friends. Well, sort of your friends. Thanks for coming, but now get out, 'cause this is the end.
Little known fact, it was the success of Jerry's K. Jingles podcast that prompted this whole thing for Tony.